Jesus has told three parables condemning the religious leaders. Then they challenged him with three questions. He answered them all and then exposed their error with a question of his own. The question we have to ask is, what is wrong with the Pharisees? Why is Jesus so hard on them? The answer is in our next chapter in Matthew, chapter 23. In chapter 23, Jesus explains in detail what the Pharisees are doing wrong. Brothers and sisters, this chapter is very helpful to us today. As we see and learn how the Pharisees have totally missed the point of what it means to be spiritual, we can learn about mistakes that we make today in our approach to God. And we can learn from Jesus himself what it means to be truly spiritual. Are you ready for that? Amen. Would you please stand with me? And we'll read this beautiful passage today. Matthew 23, 1 through 12. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must obey them and do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would soften your heart and open your heart and remove Satan's blinders and temptations from your eyes and make you good soil for his word, that the word of God would go down deep into your life and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Would you pray now for the other people in this room, that God would open their hearts and soften their hearts, removing Satan's blinders from their eyes and make them good soil for his word, that the word of God would go down deep in their hearts and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Would you please pray now for me that I would deliver this sermon accurately and therefore powerfully? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. If you're new to Trinity, you know that the way to follow along is to always stay in Matthew 23, 1 through 12. Keep your finger there or a bookmark. As you see on your notes, it's what's inside that counts is starring Matthew 23. So we will always be in Matthew 23 until the sermon is over. On the other side of your notes, there are several guest stars. So we're going to go there. Those are our supporting passages, and they will help you follow along. So when I ask you to go to the first one, go there, follow along as I read, but always keep your bookmark in Matthew 23. Let's start with our passage again, 1 through 4. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them." The first thing we can be reminded of today, and we're going to go right to your notes, brothers and sisters. The first thing we can be reminded of today is that a good spiritual leader practices what he preaches. A good spiritual leader practices what he preaches. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of pastors, elders, and preachers in the United States. And many, many, many of them are fantastic preachers, but that is not what makes a good spiritual leader. In your notes, number 2, a good spiritual leader is a role model. A good spiritual leader is a role model. Please keep your finger in Matthew 23, and let's look at our first guest star, 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter 5, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and the one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." A good spiritual leader helps you obey by first being an example, and second, by giving you whatever you need to succeed spiritually. This is America. You can choose your spiritual leaders. That's not the case in other countries. But this is America. You can choose your spiritual leaders, and this is how to choose one. This is how to choose a spiritual leader. Number 1, pray. Give you a 4-step process. Number 1, pray. Number 2, pray. Number 3, pray. And number 4, find someone who preaches the word accurately and practices what he preaches. Amen. That is how to choose a spiritual leader. The second thing we can learn from these 4 verses is simply this, in your notes. We should strive to be doers, not just talkers. We should strive to be doers, not just talkers. This is not talking about spiritual leadership. This is talking about every Christian. Anybody can talk a good talk about how we as Christians should be living. But talking is not what is truly important. It is the doing that what Jesus wants. It's the doing that's what Jesus wants. Think about your own life. Are you a talker or are you a doer? The Pharisees taught God's law, but they did not practice what they preached. Are you a talker or a doer? Please join me in our second passage, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. You found 1 Peter, it's just one book back. James 1, 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Beautiful, beautiful passage. The Word of God is a mirror. And just as we look at a mirror in the morning to see what needs to be fixed before we go out in public, the Word of God is a mirror. You open the Word of God to see what areas of your life Christ needs to work on. And then you submit. This passage is talking about hearing the Word as opposed to talking about the Word, but the main point is the same. If you are only a hearer, or if you are only a talker and not a doer, you are deceiving yourself. In our passage, Matthew 23, let's look at the next section, verses 5 through 7. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplace and to have men call them rabbi. In your notes, here's a second characteristic of a good spiritual leader. A good spiritual leader is concerned with pleasing God, not impressing people. A good spiritual leader is concerned with pleasing God, not impressing people. Now, the question you might have is, what is a phylactery? Jesus says they make their phylacteries long or wide. What is a phylactery? We're learning in the Men's Leadership Institute that the best information about the Bible is what, gentlemen? The Bible. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6:4. Beautiful, beautiful passage from the Torah. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. One more, Trinity. You're in Deuteronomy already. Turn just a few pages over to chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 16. Deuteronomy 11, 16. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce. And you will soon perish from the good land the Lord is giving you. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. A phylactery, Trinity Baptist, is a tiny box that the Pharisees would wear on their arm or on their forehead. Probably during a worship service. They were taking these passages literally, and they were doing exactly that. They'd wear them on their arm and on their forehead, probably during a worship service. And inside the box, they put portions of Exodus and Deuteronomy. Okay, tassels. Jesus himself wore a tassel. Please turn to Numbers 15. Numbers chapter 15. Numbers is right before Deuteronomy. Numbers 15:37. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, throughout the generations to come, you're to make tassels on the corners of your garments, with a blue cord on each tassel. You will have these tassels to look at, and so you will remember all the commands of the Lord, that you may obey them and not prostitute yourselves by going after the lust of your own hearts and eyes. Then you will remember to obey all my commands, and you will be consecrated to the God, to your God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." The purpose of the tassel was to remind the people of God and his wonderful word. Now, Jesus criticizes the Pharisees for broadening the phylactery and lengthening the tassel. If a person made, it's a tiny box. If the person made the box bigger, or the tassel longer, they were more noticeable and brought you more attention. A big phylactery is like saying, "Look, look at my phylactery. I'm more spiritual than you. My phylactery is bigger." Do you see how lost the Pharisees were? Do you see how crazy that is? They tied the law on their body, but they did not treasure the law in their heart. God's word is to be symbolically on your forehead to teach you how to think. God's word is to symbolically be on your hand to control what you do. Jesus criticizes them also. Look in the passage. Jesus criticized them also for choosing the place of honor at banquets and synagogues. At many banquets in Jesus' day, guests would sit in the shape of a U. The people would be seated according to how important they were. The most honored position was in the middle. There'd be a U like this. They're reclining, remember. They're not sitting in chairs. They're reclining. There's rugs. And there'd be a U like this. The table's in the middle. And the most honored place is right in the middle. And it descends The least important person is sitting way down here at the bottom of the U. There was also seating in the synagogues according to importance. Pride causes the Pharisees to want to be seated in the place of honor. But Jesus says the exact opposite. Come with me to Luke chapter 14. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus is eating at the house of a Pharisee. And he notices this tradition. Luke 14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him away. Then he asked them, "If one of you has a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out?" They had nothing to say. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor. For a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this man your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you're invited, take the lowest place. So that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. If you are a spiritual leader in any form here this morning, you're an elder, you're a teacher, you're the husband, the head of your house, any leadership at all, watch out for pride. Watch out for pride. If you are not in a position of spiritual leadership, please pray for those of us who are. Look at verses 5 through 7 again, because there's something in here for all of us. Matthew 23, 5 through 7. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them rabbi. All of us, not just leaders, all of us are tempted to do our deeds so we are noticed by others. Why do we want the praise of men so badly? It's partly because it feels good. It's partly because of insecurity. But here is why. The sin nature cries out to receive glory and honor. The sin nature cries out to get credit or praise or noticed from others. Are you like that? Do you feel the need to do your good deeds so that others notice? There is a fantastic passage in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. Would you please join me in Matthew chapter 6? Matthew 6. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing on the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. What follows is the best prayer ever. And then we skip to verse 16. Matthew 6, 16. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they're fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. It is a great spiritual victory in your life when you are truly motivated by pleasing God, not men. When we are content, when we are content to be pleasing to the Lord and not be noticed by others, we have found wonderful freedom in Christ. In your notes, our service to God should show people how great God is, not how spiritual we are. Our service to God should show people how great God is, not how spiritual we are. I want to lead you in prayer right now. I'm not through yet.